Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
So ISIL speaks for no religion, and no faith teaches people to massacre innocents. ISIL has no ideology of any value to human beings.
Well, he's back on the golf course, as we know. What's interesting to me is that Amnesty International, which was down in Ferguson, Missouri, has said nothing about the beheading of an American journalist, nothing about the murder of the innocent Azizi, nothing about the burning of churches, nothing about the killing of Christians. The frauds in Amnesty International are frauds in Amnesty International. They're an extension of the Obama administration's, not blind spot. Believe me, it's not a blind spot. I want to give you the full context about Obama's lies, his constant lies. And for him to say that ISIS stands for no religion is an overt, not only is it a lie, but it's an historical untruth. Let's just look at it from an historical point of view. They believe that they're working in the name of Islam. Doesn't matter what Obama believes. From their point of view, they're doing it to expand Islam, as are our own jihadis. Here's a story that you saw no riots over. Black Muslim in America, Ali Muhammad Brown, accused of killing four men in two states, said he killed a New Jersey teen, all white, by the way, to make up for innocent lives lost in the Middle East. Ali Muhammad Brown is accused of killing a 19-year-old in New Jersey and three men in Washington State. According to court documents, the 29-year-old black Muslim claimed he wanted to kill the teenager, the white teenager, as an act of vengeance to retaliate for U.S. military action in the Middle East. And he believes he was doing it for his religious beliefs. Brown is a devout Muslim who opposes U.S. intervention overseas. He's an American. And he went on to say, it's a life for a life, he told investigators, according to the documents. So I would ask you, do you feel threatened by Islamofascism in America and Obama's laziness? Not only is he lazy physically, going to a golf course after breaking his vacation for a little impotent speech, but the man is intellectually lazy. Obama's a lazy man. Lazy, L-A-Z-Y. Let's stop saying disconnected. I hate when they say, oh, he's disconnected. He's not connected. He's lazy. He's a bum. He's a lazy bum, Obama, period. He's a slacker. Comes back from vacation for a speech and then goes back to golfing. And not only that, but the lies that he gave during the speech are very dangerous lies. I don't care that he lies. Politicians lie. That's the name of the game. The word politician itself is one of deceit. It always has been. That's why they're in the field, by and large. Not all, but a large percentage are just... The word politician and liar are one and the same. It's like lawyer and liar. The word lawyer is closer to liar, but politician generally today means lawyer who became a politician. So Obama says that it's not a religion. Let's listen to the whole cut on the Savage Nation.
Let's be clear about ISIL.
Listen.
They have rampaged across cities and villages, killing innocent, unarmed civilians in cowardly acts of violence. They abduct women and children and subject them to torture and rape and slavery. They have murdered Muslims, both Sunni and Shia, by the thousands. They target Christians and religious minorities, driving them from their homes.
They bury them alive, Obama.
When they can. For no other reason than they practice a different religion.
Oh, wait, hold on. He just said they practice... First, Obama said they have no religion, and they're not doing this in the name of religion. Then he said that they kill Christians and other religious minorities because they practice a different religion. So within his own speech, written by some college girl, no doubt from Brandeis University, they probably got a red diaper dopa baby girl raised on seltzer and suicide. Seltzer and race suicide to write the speech for him. She just conflicted right there. Now, I could go on and on, but what's the point? Do you feel threatened by Islamofascists in America and Obama's intellectual laziness? Now, I realize it's a loaded question, and it's meant to have you call 855-407-282. But, you know, but as the Wall Street Journal editorialized, ISIS won't fail on its own because of Obama and a progressive vision that mankind has finally in the 21st century reached some higher level of being. That's a progressive vision. He talked down to them. This is pure evil. This is Hitler in a headscarf, as I wrote 4 books ago. And the Wall Street Journal said, like every evil in human history, ISIS will stop only when it is forced to stop. This means only when enough of its fanatics have been killed. That's what should have been said by your president, the so-called commander-in-chief. Now, here's another little thing for you to take home. For years now, we've been told that the Department of Homeland Security has been storing 9mm hollow-point ammunition, militarizing its forces, getting ready for insurrection in America, getting ready for civil disobedience. That's DHS, right? They're getting ready for civil disobedience. Now, civil disobedience occurred in Missouri this week, but it was black civil disobedience, so there was no DHS presence. Did you hear what I just said to you? I want you to understand how important what I just said to you is, how important what I just said is to you. This entire government is geared up to fight a war against white people. I'm sorry to have to tell you that. I'm sorry to break the news. I realize it's shocking. I realize your heart is palpitating. I realize you're saying, wait a minute, you can't say that. Well, I just said it. I will say it again. And to present my evidence, I will say it again. This entire federal government is geared up to fight a war against white people. There was just insurrection in Missouri. Rioting, looting, etc. Rioting and looting. There was no DHS. Yet they've been building up for insurrection in America. They've been building up to suppress crowds in America. They've been building up to control crowds in America. But they did nothing. So they're waiting for another group to perform what went on in Missouri. Now, what if a group of white people had rioted, or does riot in America, after Obama grants amnesty? What if they loot and they burn? You know, and I know, the Attorney General's not going to come out and say, I feel your pain. The Attorney General's not going to come out and say, I feel your pain about flooding America with non-citizens and having them steal your hospitals, steal your schools. I feel your pain. No, he's not going to say that. He'll tell you that you're going to go to jail if you burn in your loot. I'm getting very close to telling you what I really believe. Very close to telling you what I really believe. That this is the most divisive administration, that's a given. Could it also be the most racist administration in American history? Are we allowed to ask the question? Do you know of a modern American presidency that was as racist as the Obama administration in regards to its ideology and its execution of the force of the federal government? I don't. Now, why do I have to talk about this on a Thursday before a long week, before Labor Day? Because, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, we're in trouble. We are in such trouble. We have a lazy, disengaged, hateful president who masks it with a great delivery, a very superb delivery. He gets up and lies and soft-pedals Islam every day. Every day he soft-pedals Islam, soft-pedals Islamism, soft-pedals fanaticism. Every day he tells you they have no religion. Well, what are they fighting for if they have no religion? Why don't you ask ISIS if they have a religion? They'll be glad to tell you that they do. They'll tell you that they're not Muslim. They'll tell you they're not Christians. They'll tell you that they're not Azidis. They'll tell you they're not Buddhist. They'll tell you they're not Hindus. They certainly tell you they're not Jews. They'll tell you they're not agnostic. They'll tell you they believe in Muhammad. And they believe in the Muslim way. And that's what they're fighting for. They want to see the entire world practice their pure, great, excellent, protective religion, where women have their clitorises cut off. Women don't drive. Women don't work. Women are in burqas. Women are treated worse than camels. That's their vision for the future. And the women, what amazes me, is not a word out of the women's movements in America, the lying women's movements in America, who only attack Republicans, white, puffy Republican men in checked pants because they won't fight back. Not one word about what goes on in the Muslim world from the women's movement. Not one word from Amnesty International, who had the audacity to come to Missouri and steam up the black mobs. Not one word from the ACLU, who spends 90% of its time seeing if it can drive Jesus out of America, seeing if it can break crosses off war memorials. Not one word from the American Lawyers Guild. Not one word from all of the other anti-American terrorist groups in this country who have worked around the clock ever since I can remember to destroy the American way. Did you notice there was not one word from a Hollywood actor about the beheading? Did you notice not one of the sluts from Hollywood said a word? Did you notice not one of the fake men in Hollywood said one word about the beheading? Not one of the fake heroes who play war heroes said one word about the beheading? Did you notice that? They're not saying a word. Not one word. This is the savage nation. We are in real trouble. The question to you is simple. Do you feel threatened by Islamofascists in America and Obama's intellectual laziness? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CON.
So ISIL speaks for no religion, and no faith teaches people to massacre innocents. ISIL has no ideology of any value to human beings. Their ideology is bankrupt.
Well, that's very progressive of you, Mr. President. I'm sure those words will terrify the forces of radical Islam. I'm sure of it. I'm sure they're shaking in their robes because you have made them embarrassed. But what is behind this Muslim flame? What is behind this Islamist flame? What is behind it? What do they want? Well, it's very clear what they want. Take a look at Iraq and you'll know what they'll do to you here. Christians will be killed. Churches will be burned. Jews, of course, will be killed immediately. No chance for a Jew to convert. What amazes me is the progressive Jews in America, how asleep they really are. I wonder how many of them were down in Missouri marching in solidarity with the poor, oppressed black people. I wonder how many progressives are going to be outside the hospital for the policeman whose eye socket was broken open by the thug who was shot. Think any of the progressives will be? You think Anderson Cooper will still be around when the cop hobbles out of the hospital? That fraud, that faker Anderson Cooper. You know, he gets me more angry than most of them because he's a likable man. See, watch out for the likable vermin in the media. The ones that you don't like, you don't have to worry about. It's the likable ones like Anderson Cooper that you have to watch out for. They're the most deceitful and the most dangerous. But let's go back to the issue at hand, the bigger issue, which is the Arab flame that's now sweeping the world. And yesterday I tried to give you some history here, and you say, oh, come on, not again. I hate history. And I told you as a high school student, I hated history. I hated dates. The minute the teacher said 1193, I went to sleep. The only date my mind was on was Friday night or Saturday night, whether she'd go out with me. That's the only date I ever cared about in high school. So I turned off during high school history. I really did. But now I become more interested. The older I get, the more I see that we're repeating history. And those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it, as stated by the great Spanish philosopher Santayana. Yes, there were great Spanish philosophers, by the way. Santayana was a good one. Not on the level of Schopenhauer, but he was pretty good. And he said those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. So for 1 minute, indulge me. If you think that ISIL is no threat, then you belong working in the Department of Homeland Security, who's still waiting for the white men on the ranches to arise over a land dispute with Harry Reid's uranium mines. That was quite a statement. Remember that? Remember how long ago that was, when the Bureau of Land Management was ready to shoot and kill women and children because they were protesting the taking of the ranchers' land? Oh, that was ages ago. Oh, but DHS was ready. They had the tanks ready. They had the helicopters ready because it was whites who were protesting. Not rioting, mind you, but protesting. DHS was ready to mow them down. But where is DHS in Missouri? They were silent. There were no tanks from the DHS. There was no DHS present because it wasn't white people rioting. They're waiting for you to riot. They're waiting for you to riot when he grants amnesty to the illegals and steals your country by changing the demographics and gerrymandering districts with illegal aliens. That's quite a sentence. It's a complete sentence, too. So let's look now at the most amazing story of conquest in the whole history of the human race. 25 years from the time of the death of Muhammad in 632 until the death of Othman in 656, the growth of the Muslims was astonishing. In only 25 years, they swept from a small Arabic backwater to conquer all of Egypt, all of Arabia, all of Persia, and most of Armenia, and converted the people along the way. So how did they do this in 25 years? It was small armies. It was not a big army with tanks and airplanes. It was simple. When Muhammad died, Abu Bakr became the caliph. You heard about a caliphate? Caliph means successor. And with the faith that moves mountains, he set out to organize the subjugation of the entire world to Allah. And he used little armies to do so, 3,000 to 4,000 Arabs, according to those letters that had been written by the prophet from Medina in 628 to all the monarchs of the world. Only armies of small armies of 3,000 to 4,000 men. And what he did in 25 years is something you have to behold. The most amazing story of conquest in the history of the human race occurred. The Byzantine army smashed at the Battle of Yarmouk in 634. What happened next? Conquest of Syria, Damascus, Palmyra, Antioch, Jerusalem fell without resistance to the Muslim hordes. Then large elements of the population were forcibly converted, as they're doing in the Middle East, to the Yazidis. Then the Muslim hordes turned east. They fought the Persians, who at that time were not Muslim. And the Persians had a great general in Rustam. The Persians had a great force of elephants, the equivalent of tanks at that time. And for 3 days, the Persians fought the Arabs, and finally they lost at Qadisiyya in 637. And they fled. The conquest of all of Persia then followed. And the Muslims turned west.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Islam has not gone through an evolution for them. As you know, Judaism also has pretty severe, horrendous statements in the Old Testament. We all know that if you read Leviticus, if you practiced Leviticus, most people listening to this show would be killed. Can't commit adultery, you can't commit homosexuality, you look at someone the wrong way, they shall be slayed. I mean, it's crazy. You look at it. The madness in the Leviticus. So certainly the modern Jew, even the Orthodox Jew, doesn't kill people for adultery, doesn't kill because of various and sundry violations of the Old Testament, as do most Muslims not kill over it. They see it and they say, it's old, they're crazy in those days. But ISIS does. They practice a fundamentalist view of Islam. And it's very much their religion. It's not religion. So as I said to you, they're a very dangerous force because they're following the methods of the great days of the Arabs when in a short period of time, only 25 years, they conquered a good portion of the world and converted them to Islam. And I gave you a little history of how they did it with small armies of 3,000 to 4,000 men. And I ended in the last segment with the conquest of Persia, which was not Muslim, and then it fell and they converted them. Egypt fell. Egypt fell without resistance to the new conquerors, who then, believing that the world needed only one book, the Quran, the Muslim fanatics wiped out the vestiges of the book copying industry. They burnt it to the ground in the Alexandria Library. One of the greatest libraries in the world at that time was burnt to the ground. In other words, what went on in Missouri to a convenience store is what the mobs did in Egypt. And then the tide of conquest changed. The tide poured across the north coast of Africa to the Straits of Gibraltar and into Spain. The Islamofascists invaded Spain in 710. 10 years later, they breached the Pyrenees Mountains. Did you hear what I just said? 10 years later, they were fighting for 10 more years. 10 more years they were fighting. You mean they didn't give up and go home and open up a camel burger stand? No, they kept fighting to convert the world to Islam because they had a fanatical belief in the Quran, as does ISIS. Did you hear me or not? Are you people listening to a word I'm saying to you on this lazy Thursday, the 21st of August, 2014? You know, even an Islamo-fascist listening to me would be proud of me today. They would be proud that I, amongst all Americans, understand how powerful they could become and how dangerous they really are. But we have a president who is so lazy intellectually and otherwise that he tries to put us asleep. We already are the most narcotized generation in American history. Narcotized, idiots, morons. Morons, idiots, drugs, alcohol, you name it, pornography, dancing, sexuality. There's no end to the narcotics in America. Welfare, you name it, narcotized America. So instead of having a leader to wake us up, he puts us to sleep. Yeah, stay asleep. Stay asleep, my children. Then what happens is the Muslims hit a stone wall when they hit the center of France. They're stopped for good at the Battle of Poitiers because the French had cojones. The French aristocrats put on their armor and went out on horseback and destroyed them at Poitiers. And they pushed them back to the Pyrenees. And the Basque fought them in the Pyrenees. And I'll stop right there because the rest you can read on your own. They were only stopped when they were killed. They only stopped when they were killed. And then I want to speed up to something else. This was a 6th century view of Islam. By the 7th century, Islam was already interacting with other religions and other races. And there was an interaction. They were living with other people. And the great intelligence of the Arab people interacted greatly with other people. And ideas sprung up all over the world. They interacted with the Jews, and there was great interaction. They interacted with Christians, and there was great interaction. And very soon, the intolerant self-sufficiency of the early days of the Muslim faith, which made it seem that the Quran was the only possible book, was dropped. That was by the 7th century. So in other words, the Arab conquerors evolved over 2 centuries. By the 8th century, there was an educational system throughout the entire Arabized world. In the 9th century, that's 300 years later, or 400 years later, 43 years later, schools of Cordoba in Spain were corresponding with learned men in Cairo, Baghdad, Bukhara, and Samarkand, and et cetera, and so on. What I'm telling you is something interesting and very important. What you're seeing in ISIS is a 6th century view of Islam. Do you understand that? And for Obama, the president, I guess history was not his strong suit at Harvard. He was busy studying community organizing, the protocols of Alinsky, the protocols of Karl Marx. In other words, bring it all down, man. Burn, baby, burn. If it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? And look how well it worked for him. Look how the moronic progressives have elected one of their own to the highest office in the land, the man is supposedly... A man is supposed to protect the civilized world from this 6th century view, and he does nothing. In fact, he puts you to sleep and says that they're not to be feared, they're nothing, etc. So what I've just given you is the equivalent of a filibuster on the Senate floor late at night. It might be a late night speech on C-SPAN if you still had anyone left in Congress who could give you such a speech, but you don't, which is why you listen to talk radio, which is why I survive, which is why I thrive, which is why I wrote the book Stop the Coming Civil War, because I am Linkaeus, the pilot seer of the Argonauts, and I have a higher mast than anybody in the entire United States, and I see what's coming. I see farther than anybody in the American media, and you know it. My loyal audience knows it. Those who've made my books bestsellers, those who've made this show survive and thrive, understand why I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War, which can only be bought in advance right now on BarnesandNoble.com. It will not be in the bookstores till October 7th, but I implore you to please order one in advance because we drove it from 185,000 to number one in one day on Thursday. What does that say to people in the book world, the sleepy liberal publishing world? What does that say to the sleepy academic world? Every academic, you know, dreams of writing a book that's a bestseller. And they say, who's this crackpot? I've heard him on the radio. I don't like him. I never listened to him, but I hate him. And he just wrote a book that became number one overnight. What's that book, Stop the Coming Civil War? What's this racist right-wing hatred? Why don't you just take a look at it and see what it is? Maybe you can find out what America really thinks. Go ahead, why don't you check it out, Mr. Progressive? Even you, Mr. Friedman. You're putting on a little weight now, aren't you? All those trips to the White House. All those heavy meals with Michelle Obama. You're putting on a little weight, Friedman. Why don't you buy a copy of the book? Toss it around the New York Times editorial office. Go ahead. Get a few darts, Friedman. And you learn what it is to really be an American, as opposed to a spokesman for the laziest president in American history, Friedman. What a name that is, Friedman. From Friedman to Slaveman in one generation. This is the Savage Nation. Who's speaking now? Oh, Dempsey? Oh, I'm not a Dempsey. General Dempsey. Another one. Admiral Dempsey. Oh, General Dempsey. General Dempsey, I have no faith in him whatsoever. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, a politician through and through. Ask the combat troops what they think of Dempsey. He stabbed them in the back at every turn. All right, turn it on. Go ahead, let's listen to Dempsey.
Humanitarian crisis and unfolded at Mount Sinjar. As there continues to be...
Oh, this is Hagel the Bagel.
Humanitarian need.
Oh, yeah, Hagel. Hagel, the one who's decimated the military and feminized the military.
The United Kingdom, Canada, France, Italy, and Australia... And the United Nations.
You know, one day there should be war crimes trials against this administration. Hagel should be at the top of the docket. I imagine like a Nuremberg trial of people who've destroyed the country. And Hagel should be there like Goebbels was.
Operations have stalled ISIL's momentum.
You hear that? Stop. Are you listening to this speech that he's reading with no emotion? Another dead one. Another dead one. Another one. Another Prozac. Another champion of the Prozac speech. On and on and on, telling you what you don't need to know. Not what he's going to do, not what the DOD is going to do, but on and on and on. Go back to the bagel for 1 minute.
The country's peaceful transition of power last week was important.
I'll go back to my meatloaf sandwich if this keeps up. I mean, I have French fries and meatloaf sitting on the counter.
To establish an inclusive government that is responsive to the needs.
Are you listening to this? This is the war chief of America.
United Iraq.
Who spends all of his time. Oh, by the way, stop for a minute. Do you know what the military has done? You know, ISIS stole our tanks from the fleeing Iraqi army, right? My heart was broken seeing them driving our incredible M1A Abrams tanks. I almost cried. Do you know what Obama did a month ago? And that's what makes me worry a little bit. He eliminated the A-10 Skyhawk from the Air Force arsenal, saying they were antiquated. They're the number one tank killer. Now, wait a minute. A month or two ago, they eliminated the A-10 Skyhawk, which is a tank killer, and then ISIS takes our tanks. Do you think? Could you think? Is it possible? Did they know? Is it a coordinated plan? I don't know. Let's listen to Hagel the Bagel.
Objectives remain clear and limited. To protect American citizens and facilities...
Oh, geez.
To provide assistance to Iraqi
forces. Oh, my God.
To confront ISIL and to join with international partners to address the humanitarian crisis.
You know, this guy couldn't melt an icicle, let alone confront ISIL.
Dempsey for his comments, and then we'll take questions.
The only thing he's good for is a popsicle once in a while.
Most of you know
a rainbow popsicle in his mouth.
From a trip to Vietnam.
I know. Here's Dempsey, the other one.
Today,
looks like an usher in a movie theater.
Apart from Singapore visiting.
A counterpart now. You hear?
It was quite remarkable to be in Vietnam 40 years
after. Oh, shut up with Vietnam already.
Vietnam,
shut up with Vietnam.
Building on our historical investment and the incredible sacrifices of those who served there.
What are you talking
about? My engagements in the region reinforce that we have our shoulder behind the rebalance to the Asia Pacific.
Are you listening to this moron? The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at a time like this is talking about Asia and Vietnam.
Which brings me to Iraq under the command of...
Oh, what, are you
going to
build a Maginot Line for us?
Our efforts in Iraq have included...
Efforts.
...to date 7 humanitarian airdrop missions...
Are you listening to this? This sounds like a fireman telling you how many fires they put out.
Medical supplies.
Not the one that's burning.
More than 60 intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance...
I can't listen to this. I'm getting mad. I'm getting angry, and I'm getting sick, and I can't afford it. Not only is Obama the laziest and most devious president in American history, the people around them are going to kill us all if we don't wake up. Do you understand what you're listening to? Turn this clown back on.
Political future takes shape. I'd emphasize that enduring stability will depend on achieving a credible partner in the Iraqi government.
Are you listening to this rubbish?
To being much more inclusive with all of its population.
Inclusive now.
Thus far.
Now, I want you to compare this man's speech to one of Patton's speeches, which we got to dig up, Neil. To a real general. A real general as opposed to a Potemkin general.
And you said that nonetheless.
Who's this moron now? What is it? A newsman asking a
question?
A question now. Is it true that the women in the military are being sexually abused, Mr. Dempsey?
I know that you've described a strategy of enabling the Iraqis, both politically and militarily.
Mr. Dempsey, is it true that you found examples of sexual harassment in the Air Force, which is why you replaced the Air Force chief with a woman who can't fly a Piper Cub, Mr. Dempsey?
Not to go root them out from where. Inside Syria. Why not go that route?
Well, first, going back to your point about my statement on what our objectives are, which I just restated in my
statement. Yesterday was a migraine from these people.
I would also say, in addition to that...
Oh,
that,
I would also say, and heretofore...
The president has been very clear.
Oh, the president, in the middle of the golf game, he mapped out a heck of a strategy.
All options.
Yeah, we're going to explore all possibilities.
ISIL. And how
oh, yeah, we were looking into every possible thing except fighting.
In that area.
Yeah, we're going to windbag them to death.
In Iraq against ISIL. You all know that in the president's request in OCO for a $5 billion anti-terrorism fund.
Oh, here we go again. It's money. You know, they don't have enough money. They need more.
To assist the moderate opposition. So...
oh, we're going to give them money now? Give them some weapons they can steal now.
And we will continue to stay focused, as I said, on what we're doing now and exploring all options as we go forward.
Oh, yeah, they're going to hunt them down.
Airstrikes across the border.
Like I said, we're looking
at all options. We're investigating. Over the long weekend, we're going
to
meet
both of you specifically on the hostage rescue mission. You both have talked extensively over the years.
Oh, here comes the jackal from CNN. The operative of the other side. Is it true you failed in that mission, Mr. Dempsey? Can you give us all the operational details so we can pass them on to ISIS on our channel tonight, so Wolf Blitzer can get up there blinking like an owl in the headlights and give away information with secret signals? Can you give us all the operational details of the special forces you sent in there, Mr. Dempsey? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
Amount. I think we've seen that. I mentioned in my comments here. So it's the broad scope of activity and actions that we are taking.
Are you listening to this moron? This is our defense secretary. He sounds like a college teacher. And there's the other one, the usher in the Lois Valencia, with the sitting talking about Vietnam, his great days in Vietnam.
And they have begun to receive supplies, not just, by the way, from us or...
Oh, we're doing our best.
But also from the government of Iraq, which
okay, the lyrics that are about to be played were just sent to me by my music producer. It's Black Sabbath, Iron Man. Listen to the song. Iron Man, Black Sabbath. Has he lost his mind? Thank you very much. Music.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Here we are facing the greatest terrorist threat since 9/11, and two of the biggest losers I've ever seen in my life are giving a press conference. Defense Secretary Hagel, who took time out from seeing if he can fire any more active combat white men from the military and install more women who can't fly or drive ships, is now giving a speech which he thinks is so good. And then, not to be outdone, there's General Dempsey himself, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Two perfect stooges for the golfer. Two perfect stooges. They just cut off the head of an American journalist, and they did so because his brother's in the Air Force. And these two clowns are supposed to make you feel safe now. Now, if you missed the first hour, I'm not going to repeat it. There's some essential points you have to take home. And I suggest you replay it or get it from somewhere. I can't redo myself. I just can't do it. There's so much content in my shows that I can't repeat it every hour. And I'm not going to. The number one question remains, which is, are you threatened? Do you personally have fear that ISIS can harm you in this country? Well, first of all, they're here already. Many sympathizers of them are here. They don't have to actually be a member of the Islamo-fascist brigades in Iraq. I have a story I just played for you. A black Muslim killed four innocent men, including, I think, three white teenagers, shot them in cold blood to get even, so-called, for the death of Muslims in the Middle East. You didn't make it to your morning news. Oh, I thought you had it with your Frappuccino. I thought maybe you read it as a screaming headline, as you would have when they were still in America. When they were still in America, when I grew up, when returning military veterans were the newsmen, before it became a comedy club. For those who couldn't do anything else, they went to journalism school. The only person I know who ever went to journalism school in my crowd couldn't be anything else. He couldn't even be a dentist. I mean, in those days, there was a certain, you went to college, because I came from a lower middle class family. You could either be a doctor, a dentist, an accountant. No one ever heard of a journalist. It was unheard of. Nobody knew what it was. Nobody I knew became a journalist except one person. He had mental problems. He had been molested. Various problems. I'm not ridiculing him. That's the only person I knew who became a journalist. But when I was young, I read newspapers that were basically run by men who came back from World War II who could still write a headline. And I could write you a few headlines. I do every day on the show. I do them verbally. This is the Savage Verbal Newspaper. The Savage Audio Newspaper. So there's Hagel the Bagel, the head of the Defense Department, trying to calm you. Well, tell you what, I'll be on the golf course. You gentlemen go out there. Chuck, and what's that other jerk's name with the uniform? I forget. Who is he? I'm joking. This is Obama now. Who's that jerk that I have in the uniform that looks like an usher, you know, with the stripes? Oh, yeah, Dempsey. Get the other putts to go out with you. Give a speech. We'll send in Barbara Starr from CNN to embarrass them. We'll ask about the failed mission. And then the other morons, you know, they're not of any threat. You'll be able to. All right, next. Oh, over there, please. Next question. Look at this, Syria. If there were war crimes trials, Hagel would be at the top of the list. Like Goering, for what he's done to this military. You know, listen, I asked a question last hour. Did you catch it? President Obama, through his stooge Hagel, eliminated the A-10 Skyhawk. Not the A-10 Skyhawk. Yeah, the tank killer. Warthog. The A-10 Warthog was eliminated from the Pentagon 2 months ago. Now, remember what I said on this show? That's the number one tank killer we have. Now, then we wake up and we realize that 2 months later, Icicle has stolen our M1A Abrams tanks, which are virtually indestructible. And they're using our tanks because the Iraqis fled. So we don't have any warthogs to kill the tanks. Do you think that there was, is it possible that? Am I allowed to think that? Is it at all feasible that there are individuals in our government working against our interests? No. No. Come on now. Don't be a paranoid right-wing lunatic. That couldn't happen here. Well, wait a minute. What about that drone that Iran got 4 years ago in the beginning of Obama's administration? We had the most advanced drone in the world. Remember it landed in Iran without a scratch on it? It looked like a vintage 1958 Buick to them. It didn't even need a wax job. It was delivered to them whole, not even a scratch. Our most advanced drone was sent to Iran without a scratch. Who sent it to them? Who sent it? From Obama with love? From a fellow traveler with love? Yeah, come on. Now, just because you have a radio, she doesn't give you the license to even think anymore. In fact, you should be prohibited from thinking. In fact, I think that free thinking should be outlawed in America. In fact, anyone who even suggests the possibility that there are double agents inside this government is probably an enemy of this government. In fact, how dare you even ask why the DHS is preparing for civil disobedience with hollow point non-millimeter bullets, tanks, aircraft, black helicopters? And while there was civil disobedience, why, I think it was this week, wasn't it? In Missouri, conducted by black folk, there was no presence of DHS. They're still drawing up war plans against white ranchers who were worried about land being seized and given over to Harry Reid's uranium friends. Now, of course, in Ferguson, Missouri, there's no DHS. And the Anderson Coopers of the world have gone home for the weekend. They've got a big couple of parties this weekend to congratulate themselves on the great work they've done in stirring up hatred and looting and arson. They've done a very good job. There's only a few stragglers left there. The failed journalists, those who have not reached the level of Anderson Blooper, are still there waiting for another riot to ensue, but it's unlikely that it will happen. I don't know why. I have no idea. Oh, I understand why, because so many witnesses came out and said that the cop was almost beaten to death and his eye was almost knocked out of his head before he shot to save his life. Oh, that's why Anderson Cooper went home. It was no longer the same news. The narrative ended. The narrative of the oppressed black youth. You know those young fellows with the shirts off, with the pants hanging under their behinds. You know all of those medical students that came out from the University of St. Louis School of Medicine to protest the death of that innocent young fellow. Yeah. No, they've gone home. They're back studying now. They're deep involved in the anatomy, physiology books, physiology, chemistry, biochemistry. They're back studying. That's why they can't be in the streets anymore. They've expressed themselves to Al Sharpton, another great scholar of the American experience. And now that they've expressed themselves so peacefully by burning, looting, beating, they're back at the University of St. Louis School of Medicine studying, for to be a doctor, to save their people and save the country. And that's why there's no riots. It's not that there's not injustice. There's still plenty of injustice, but they're not there anymore. And as I say, the big story today is that there is no story today. The big story today is that Obama's golfing on Wednesday after the speech. That's one big story. The second big story is that teens pot smoking linked to disability later in life. Caught you off guard, didn't I? Play Black Sabbath so we'll get the potheads really mad right now. And I'll tell them why pot is going to destroy their minds. By the time they're 50, they'll be useless idiots. Can you get Black Sabbath ready? A long-term study of Swedish men finds that those who smoke marijuana at age 18, especially the heaviest users, are more likely to end up on the nation's disability rolls by age 59. And it's a Swedish study, no less. Marijuana is one of the most commonly used drugs in the world, with 77 million euros. Now you know why the Muslims are taking over. Because they're drunks and potheads. See, one thing I got to say about Islam is they don't drink. So now, you have a population of drunks and drug addicts, and you have another population that doesn't drink. Tell me who's going to win. Is he alive or dead? That applies to everyone in the government. John Boehner, where is he? Where is John Boehner? All this is going on. Probably on a beach chair somewhere in Jacksonville. It's been good weather down there. No storms, nothing. He's had a nice long vacation. Got the case sitting up there in the fridge. Got the ice cubes, the beach chair. Can anyone name a Republican who's alive, actually alive? Where are they right now? Okay, stop. Look, let's analyze this. We've got Obama golfing right after the speech, which was just a farce. But there's no Republicans. Okay, McCain doesn't count. McCain does not count at all. He's ready to give a speech in the middle of the night. If the man was comatose in a hospital bed, God forbid, they could find him and he'd give a speech. The thing is, he has to control that fluid. Play the thing where you hear the fluid.
Here's Mr. Fluid. We predicted that this chaos would ensue. We did not predict the rapidity of the collapse of the Iraqi military.
All right, let me tell you.
This was all predictable when the President of the United States, and he's not telling the
truth. Sucking into the liquid, that bothers me.
To leave a residual force behind. He did not. And that's the huge mistake. These things are not like earthquakes or hurricanes. Failures of policies.
See, there's a lot of liquid in his. Here's the thing. When a man gets old, you can start to tell when he's senile and shouldn't be in power anymore. It's not by the age. I wouldn't go by age. I go by the amount of liquid in his speaking. Same with Pelosi. Once you hear a certain degree of liquid in the mouth, you know they're on their way out, mentally and physically. And every time McCain speaks, it sounds like he needs like a napkin next to him, like a bib. He needs like a seafood bib. The next time McCain speaks, if you're going to interview him, if you're in the media, trust me, you should wear a seafood bib or a raincoat, because this guy is splattering. You talk about a spritzer. This guy is a real spritzer. Could you imagine if you got up close to McCain and asked him a question? I mean, what would you have a chance to say anything before your eyes would be covered with a spittle? This is unbelievable to me. So there's the only Republican who was heard to give a statement about ISIS, and the man is so over the hill that you need a seafood bib to be near him. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON.
So ISIL speaks for no religion, and no faith teaches people to massacre innocents. ISIL has no ideology of any value to human beings. Their ideology is bankrupt.
Some of you boys, I know, are wondering whether or not you chicken out under fire. Don't worry about it. I can assure you that you will all do your duty. The Nazis are the enemy. Wade into them, spill their blood, shoot them in the belly. When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do.
From Patton to patent leather shoes in one generation, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Oh, are we in trouble? From General Patton to patent leather shoes in one generation. Take a look at what's running the military now. Did you just see that speech and listen to the commander in golf? The commander in golf gave a speech. Nothing, didn't say a word about what he was going to do. Ran back to the course. Seven pictures of him in a cart. And a cart on the course, that's all. He's having a good time. It's vacation. What do you mean, I really have to go give a speech? Yeah, look, they just cut a guy's head off. I don't want to go. I'm having a good time. You know, I don't see much of Michelle and the kids. I mean, finally, get away from them. I'm out hanging. Good. You got to go, Mr. I don't want to go. You have to go. What do I have to go for? I'm the president. I can do what I want. No, Mr. President, it doesn't look good. They just did a video. A guy cut the journalist's head off. You got to go out there and make it. I don't want to go. I'm sorry, Mr. President. You got to go. I'm not going. You are going. So he goes there and he gives a good speech that says nothing. Typical Obama. Says nothing.
Booming Kenyan voice.
And bang, right back to the golf course. So now you know where his heart is. Am I the only one who sees this? No. Senator Ron Johnson sees it. Senator Ron Johnson knows it. Listen to clip 7. Neil, play 7, not 5. This is Senator Ron Johnson, an actual Republican from Newsmax TV. Listen to this.
We need a strategy. We need a president that is leading the world, that is assembling that coalition of the world, willing to include Western nations, that would include Arab states that are also threatened by ISIS. We need a president on the job, the president going right back out the golf course. It's further evidence of his detachment, his lack of leadership on this issue. And this is a moment in time when America sorely needs strong leadership.
He's lazy. It's not that he's, they keep saying detachment. He's not detached. He's lazy. He's the laziest president in American history. Why am I not allowed to use the word lazy? Listen to clip 5 now from Senator Ron Johnson.
We've seen the brutality, the barbarism of ISIS. Their diplomacy is beheadings. It is crucifixion. When they're not committing mass executions, they're burying people alive, kidnapping women, forcing them into forced marriage. I saw a picture of an ISIS terrorist with his arms around his 7-year-old bride. This is evil. It has to be defeated. It cannot be contained.
Well, that's codified in their holy book, by the way. I know you're not allowed to say that either, but read it. Read the history. See, there's things that you can say that are true that are so politically dangerous that you don't say them. You don't. I do. Amnesty International was out there in the streets of Missouri trying to stir up the black masses into more of a riot. And they have nothing to say so far on the beheadings, crucifixions, rapes, or forced marriages. They're busy in Joplin, wherever they are in Missouri. Probably taking in some jazz across the river in St. Louis. Amnesty International. They make over $100 million a year to leaders of those groups. I'm sorry, $300,000 a year, pardon me. What would you like to say? I mean, I didn't even want to come in here and do this today. I really didn't. I did not want. I said, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to get sick if I do it. There's only so much anyone can do. So I gave you a history of the conquest of the Arabs in ancient times, of what they conquered in 25 years. Now, the lynch mob in Missouri, as you know, was stirred up. No evidence that Eric Holder has ordered a truckload of tires and cans of gasoline yet and given any instructions to go out and necklace people. Not yet. We haven't seen that issuance. DHS has not yet issued the black tires, the truck tires, and the gasoline cans. But the lynch mob is there. They're waiting in abeyance. Meanwhile, the officer who was almost beaten to death has not yet been heard from. But, of course, Anderson Cooper wanted him lynched.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation.
Oh, how modern that is. So computer literate. So Twitter-like. So BlackBerry-ish.
How far
so
we've seen
with
speaks
it
to a sense of mistrust and KSFO. Mutual suspicion that can take hold in the relationship between law enforcement and certain communities. I wanted them to know that while so much else may be uncertain, this Attorney General and this Department of Justice stands with the people of Ferguson.
I wish you'd stand with all of the white victims of black crime once. Then we'd all know you're a fair attorney general. Just once give a speech about the mayhem going on in this country. Now, I want to talk about the conversion of Muslims to radical or fundamentalist Islam. They do have a religion. They do have an ideology. Obama's intellectually lazy by saying otherwise. There's a great story on FoxNews.com by Benjamin Hall, how one Iraqi returned from Europe ready to kill his own family and friends. Did you hear? He lived in Iraq. He was a barber, fun-loving guy, left his small hometown to find himself in Europe. And in Europe, he was radicalized in mosques where fiery imams told young minds to wage a holy war against the West. And it shows the Islamic crucibles of Athens, London, and Paris. Now, we have them here in America. I wonder if Eric Holder is allowed to even suggest to his FBI agents to worry about the Islamic preachers in America who are radicalizing their flocks. I really wonder if he's concerned about that. I truly wonder, and I'm chilled to believe that he doesn't. So Ahmad has told family, friends, in blunt words, that he has no qualms about fighting his own family or even killing his own brother because they're living in sin. Now listen to this. Listen to what he says. Interview with former friends of Ahmad, as well as his own Facebook post, paint a chilling picture of how he became a radical committed to killing all those whose lives he deems an affront to Allah. An affront to Allah. Notice the religious connection, Mr. Obama. He left his hometown in the mountains of Kurdistan in 2009 to discover Europe. He wound up living in Greece's capital. One night, he says, he drank so heavily that the ensuing hangover convinced him he needed to change. Instead of going to AA, he went to a mosque. Instead of following the rules of Alcoholics Anonymous, he turned himself over to the powers of Allah in a mosque, where he was wooed by Islamic fundamentalists from Yemen, Britain, and Pakistan. And instead of practicing the 10 steps of kicking booze, he followed the 10 steps of Allah and how to kill others in the world. And he kept his family and old friends back home apprised of his new friends on regular Facebook chats, telling them how he was meeting interesting people and attending meetings at the mosque, Mr. Holder. And only in retrospect do the old friends realize they were witnessing the radicalization of the young man they still call Shamal. He then resurfaces in Syria, where he joins the al-Qaeda-linked Jabhat al-Nusra in its bid to throw out Bashar al-Assad. In that, he agrees with John McCain and President Obama, who have been trying to destroy Assad, which is why, of course, al-Qaeda rose in Syria. One of the reasons ISIS has arisen is because this administration has been destroying Assad's crushing of these people. You don't understand that yet. They're lying now about it. The fact is that Assad hated them more than we do. So then, like thousands of al-Nusra members, he joined the group then known as ISIS as it ascended. And now Ahmad is believed to be a central player in the battlefront with Kurdistan. He is still active on Facebook, and he sends his friends messages on Facebook telling them to repent and join his side. And while most of those who knew him in his previous life are appalled, one friend who also left Saeed Sada and at least for a time lived in Rhode Island is not. And he says this: "The whole world is afraid of you now, and victory will eventually be for all Muslims," the friend said, known to the same circle of Saeed Sada residents as Ahmad, which shows a picture of himself praying while surrounded by guns. You see, that's the Islamic way. That's the Islamist way, pray with guns. The Christians used to know that. The Jews learned that, by the way. The Jews have figured out finally, after going into a gas chamber, that it's okay to have a Bible in one hand, but you better have an Uzi in the other, or you're going to wind up in a gas chamber. So you got to hand it to them. I mean, they know the truth. They pray while surrounded by guns. Well, the Jews pray while surrounded by guns. The trick is to have bigger guns than the other guys and use them faster, or you'll wind up in an oven. So there it is right now. So here's a guy who says he's going to kill his own family if he could in Iraq, and they're Muslims. And he'll kill them because they're not pure enough for his view of Islam. They're sinners. He kills sinners. And that's why I say the president is either uninformed or intellectually lazy to say that ISIS has no religion. He's completely wrong. So that's why I say to you, today's topic is, do you fear? Of course you do. That's why I asked you the question. Now, you're not going to get the fiery rhetoric that you need in your churches. No, sorry, Bob. Now, those of you going to go to church this Sunday, God bless you. You're going to sit there and listen to the normal droning mumbo-jumbo from the pacified, feminized priests. That's if there are any men left up there at all in the vestments. And they will tell you about the hungry and the poor and how you have to send care packages to Guatemala because of the starving children. They will not mention the decimation of the churches. They will not mention the new holy war that Christians are facing in this country and around the world. But it's the churches where I would begin. If I had any influence whatsoever, I would like to speak to 1,000 Christian ministers, priests, pastors at a time. I would speak until there was no voice left in me to warn them that unless they awaken the Christian in this country, what is happening in Iraq could happen here. That's what I'd like to do. I know many of you agree with me, and many of you go to church hoping to get some spiritual rebooting or fulfillment. You don't get it. You come out more sapped than when you went in. Same with the Jews. Jews go into the synagogues, and they get a version of Woody Allen with a bagel. They go in to hear about God and the Old Testament and religion, and they come out with a joke about a bagel and the Old Testament, and that, to throw in a little bit more about illegal aliens, and how Jews have always been on the front of the humanist movement that we must protect, and you must go, and that's what they hear. Not that the world is threatened now by radical Islam. Instead, again, both Christians and Jews in America, that's what they get in their synagogues and temples. On the other side, they tell them very clearly, convert him or kill him. One side says convert him or kill him. The other side tells Woody Allen like jokes, or tells you to send carnation canned milk to Guatemala. So I mean, it's a very tough place for me to be. God gave me the wisdom to see things as they are. This is a problem. What do you do if you're me? What do you do if you're Michael Savage? How do you live with yourself? How do you live with yourself if you see so much? How much can I take? You know, there's a famous painting. I love art, as you know that. I'm an art collector and whatever. Not a great one, but let's say I love museums since I'm a young child because I grew up in the world of antiquities, my father's store. There's a great painting of a man who is shielding his eyes from what he just saw. I don't know, maybe there were many paintings. Where he holds his eyes. He looks at something and he holds his eyes. That's how I feel every day. How much can I see that is so clear to me and so unclear to most of the world that I don't know what to do? I mean, I don't know what to do. I just watch Hegel of Defense and the one who looks like an usher in Alois Valencia, Dempsey, the other one, the great war hero, Dempsey, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, comes out, and they gave a speech about what they're going to do about ISIS. I don't know what they said. I have no idea what they just said. It was like a speech that they would give at the war college to a group of young men who think that they're impressive because they have medals on their chest. So what am I supposed to do? And where's the commander-in-chief? On the golf course. One thing about Obama is he's consistent. You can't take that away from him. He's a fun-loving guy. I mean, truthfully, you could look at it that way. It's like, what me worry? What, the world's burning? What do I care? It's a good job. Look at the fun I'm having. What ISIS? No threat to me. Never going to touch me. No threat to me. He's very consistent. He likes his golf, likes parties, or he likes cigarettes. And we'll stop right there. But no, he's very consistent in his fun-loving ways. He's a good American in that regard. He doesn't have to worry about anything. What's he to worry about? Makes a nice buck. Everything's taken care of. They send a jet for pizza for the children on pizza night. They fly to Martha's Vineyard on two big jets. The dog comes on an Osprey helicopter. I mean, there's not enough fuel for the A-10 Warhawk, but there's fuel to fly them to Martha's Vineyard and back. What's wrong with a job like that? It's a nice job, so why not enjoy it? I mean, you know, if you got it, flaunt it, is an old saying. He got it, he's flaunting it. She got it, she's flaunting it. What do you want from them? Wouldn't you do the same thing? What, you would lead? You'd stick your nose into someone else's affairs? You would care about Yazidis? He doesn't know a Yazidi from a Zidi. I guarantee you that Obama could care less as to whether it's a Zidi or a Yazidi. If someone came in and said, Mr. Obama, the Yazidis are being slaughtered on a mountaintop, and say, all right, whatever, just get me, yeah, that's a good idea. I'll have Zidi with clam sauce, that's all. No, Mr. President, there are people. That's what I just said, I'd like some Zidi. No, no, Mr. President, we're telling you there's a people called Yazidi, and they're on a mountaintop, and they're threatening to be killed. I don't care. I want ziti with clam sauce tonight. You got it? Ask the girls what they want. But, Mr. President, you go, Commander Chief, you got to do something. What do you want me to do? Call Dempsey. Call that guy who looks like an usher. I don't even know what his name is. John, Jack, Joe, whatever his name is. He looks like a cop from Staten Island to me. Looks like he's been stealing apples all his life. That's why I hired him. I knew he'd never stand up to me. Ask him what to do. I'm busy. And bring me that ziti with clam sauce right away. Do you hear me? Yes, sir. I'm sorry for the pantomime. It's my comic relief. It's how I survive. See, I asked you a question. How do I handle this vision? I tell jokes. I get sarcastic, but there's only so much I can do. So next week I'm on vacation. Yes, I'm sorry to tell you. I know what's coming. I'm going to be in a secret location, which I can't tell you. But if, just if, the sneak in chief decides to grant amnesty, I have a radio studio very nearby. We have superb fill-ins. So you better get all of me that you can because I'm not even on tomorrow. That's right. Well, it's over in Missouri. Anderson Cooper went home. I'm entitled to a breather. They're partying already. Probably on Martha's Vineyard with the president. He went right from Missouri to Martha's Vineyard to get rewarded for their good works on behalf of the government media complex. Yeah, so how are you going to keep in touch with me while I'm away? That's the problem. Many of you get these... You got sick just now. Many of you just got sick and scared. The thought of no Michael Savage for almost 10 days is enough to make anyone. But you got to make preparation for when I'm not going to be here at all. I mean, you know, the truth is I'm getting older, not younger. I'm not getting winded. I'm just getting older, not younger. And there's going to be a day that I'm not on the radio. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you, you know, make your preparation. I know I'm a member of your family. Many of you love me. I didn't intend to get up into this spot, but I'm very, very exhausted mentally. From the stress I'm under. I can feel it in what I'm saying to you. It's like, you know, all holds are barred right now. You ask me any question, man, you're going to hear stuff you probably never believe I was going to say. But I'm telling you what I'm really thinking. And I am telling you that, yeah, I mean, if God wants me on the radio, I'll be on the radio another couple of years and that'll be it. I hope so. I hope I'm on through the election. I don't know. Every day I wake up and I pray to God. I'm very religious in that regard. I'm not formally religious, but I thank God about six times a day for my life. Do you know that? It's a very funny thing. I do it in reverse, though. It's not like, dear God, thank you for giving me my life and my breath. It's like, oh, God, I hope I'm not getting a heart attack. It's a prayer in its own way when you think about it. Many of you don't realize how religious you are. Like, if you're driving around and you feel like a pain because you just ate a bad sandwich or something or a slice of pizza, and it shoots across your chest, and you're afraid you're going to, like, veer off the highway and hit a telephone pole and leave your wife and children, that's a prayer. When you say, oh, God, I hope I'm not getting a heart attack, that's a way of saying, God, thank you for giving me life. See, you don't realize that you're praying when you do that. So you're actually quite spiritual, even though you may be a fallen Catholic or a fallen Jew. Every time you fear you're dying and say, oh, my God, I hope it's not now, you're actually making a prayer. Do you realize that's funny? That's very funny. It really is a funny way of explaining to you that we're all God's children. And all day long, we do think about life and death in little ways. And in so doing, we're acknowledging God's presence in our own way. So it doesn't have to be in a positive manner. It can be in a negative. It can be a fearful manner. You don't have to do it through a book. Like, dear God, thank you for giving me life. Thank you for giving me breath. Thank you for giving me this moment. Thank you for giving me food. That's one way to do it. But does it have the same meaning as, oh, my God, I hope I'm not dying. Oh, what's that? How many times have you driven? Or wait about the dawn. You wake up at dawn. And because they say most heart attacks occur at, like, in the morning when you wake up. It's like, oh, God, I hope this isn't it. Do you ever get one of those? I hope this isn't the big one. How many times? I raise your hand. How many guys listening to this show, and I don't care if you're in your 30s, I happen to know in the 30s it starts the cardioneurosis in our society. At 11, they got you into a neurotic state already. But by 30, you're already fearing God knows what every morning. You touch for prostate cancer. Just a little passerby. You give a touch already. They got you doing the heart. What's that? I skipped a beat. What's wrong? Call Dr. Cohn. The throat. You once had a cigarette when you were 19 years old. You sure it evolved into a metastasis in your throat. If your eye twitches, you're positive you have Parkinson's. This is the society we live in. It's a form of prayer, those fears. Because it's if you say, oh, my God, I hope it isn't, that's a way of saying, God, thank you for it not being. Again, I'm trying to entertain you, okay? Do you mind? Does anyone mind that I'm doing it in my own way? Do you mind that I'm doing it in my own way? My God, I ran through a whole stop set. The thing is, says it's red. I need some live music. When I come back, Neil, I want to switch to Dean Martin. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is the Savage Nation. That's Dino. Lower Dino, because they can't listen to me and them. So they're interviewing Muslims in Iraq who are shocked that the U.S. is doing nothing about ISIS. And one of them says, I wish the world superpowers had fought these criminal groups in their incubators. The U.S. should have hit Islamic State when they first appeared in Syria. Why didn't they hit them when they first entered Mosul and other cities? Answer, because they were busy planning to hit Assad. That's your commander-in-chief along with John McCain. So you see, I'm getting exhausted from all of this. They've risen because of Obama, who's still golfing. And they've risen because of McCain, who is still Rolfing. He actually needs a Rolfing. And speaking of medical procedures, I swear to God, I'm going on vacation. And you know what I like is an old-fashioned European spa, which doesn't exist. I'd like to check into a clinic where I could go to sleep for 7 days. Where they put me on a low-grade medication where I just 7 days. Maybe the bodily fluids they help in. And they walk me once in a while, so my mom, 1 week of sleep therapy. Because after I was through with that, I could come back ready to become a Republican. If they were to narcotize me for 7 days and keep me asleep, I wouldn't have to return to radio. I could probably just join. I could go to any local Republican Party headquarters and run for office and win. I could become a sleepwalker like them. I hit you with a zinger on the end. I hit you with a zinger on the end. Hey, Dino!
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
So everyone's laughing at Obama finally. Even the Daily News, which is a very liberal newspaper aimed at the minority population in New York, even they put a picture of the hologram president in a golf cart. And I just named him the hologram president. Steal it, if you will. Steal this phrase. Steal Michael Savage's phrase. He's the hologram president. He's not really there. He's a hologram. The real guy is on a golf course, or God knows where else he is. What we see is a hologram of a president. Comes out, gives a speech after the beheading, and then flies back to the golf course. It's apparent to anybody what that's all about, right? Look at the headlines, though, on the Drudge Report right now. ISIS renamed Al-Qaeda. Americans brace for new wave of terror. ISIS has 12,000 foreign fighters, hundreds of Americans. Hundreds of Americans. Where was Homeland Security when all of these so-called homegrown Muslim radicals were incubating? Well, they were looking at returning white Christian male soldiers and those who oppose abortion. That's your DHS, the same DHS that was nowhere to be seen in Ferguson, Missouri, with their tanks and their 9-millimeter hollow points. And they've been waiting for an insurrection by white people. That's what the Homeland Security is getting ready for, all you evil white crackers. So when the city was almost burned to the ground, they weren't there because they're still planning your insurrection. More British Muslims fight for Islamic State than Britain. More British Muslims fight for Islamic State than Britain, and they all have passports, and they're all allowed back into Britain, and I'm not allowed into Britain. Go figure. God save the Queen. God, does she need someone to save her? God save the Queen. She needs someone to save her, I got to tell you that. With the idiots surrounding her, she's going to need more than God to save her. What else do you want to talk about? Oh, my God. Israel's still at war in Gaza, but now Israel's in a very different state with the Gaza war. Netanyahu is under tremendous fire by his own military commanders for having cut short the military incursion into Gaza before killing the leadership. So he's doing targeted strikes, and yesterday they killed three top Hamas commanders in one building. The one they really wanted got away, so they got three others. Three top Hamas commanders are buried in Gaza. About 10,000 mourners on Thursday buried three senior commanders of the armed wing of Hamas who were killed in a pre-dawn airstrike by Israel, the most significant blow to the group's leadership since Israel's operation in Gaza began more than 6 weeks ago. Oh, so Jews can still strike back. Go think. You can't imagine the Jew can still fight. They learned a long time ago. You have a Uzi in one hand and a Bible in the other. They learned a long time ago. If you're going to depend only on God, you'll wind up in a gas chamber. That they found out a long time ago. You wait for God to help, you'll wind up in the chamber with your talus. So they learned you better teach the kids karate and how to shoot an Uzi and how to fly an F-16 or whatever they're flying. That's all. So the Armor's Almanac. Why don't I put out a book called The Armor's Almanac? The Farmer's Almanac predicts a super cold winter. And now they're saying that even though we're in the coldest summer anyone can remember, it's global warming that's on a hiatus due to the Atlantic. I'm sorry, the words almost didn't come out of my mouth here. A study says global warming has gone into a hiatus due to the Atlantic Ocean. Remember the Defense Department that's now giving us these mock serious speeches about the dangers of ISIS told us the greatest threat to the world was global warming? The same schmuck Dempsey 6 months ago was giving a speech about global warming, climate change is the greatest threat. ISIS was incubating in Syria, and they were telling us about global warming because the Schmendrick-in-chief on the golf court told them what to say. Or was it Valerie Jarrett? Cause of global warming hiatus found deep in the Atlantic Ocean. Following rapid warming in the late 20th century, this century has so far been surprisingly little increase in the average temperature of the Earth's surface. At first, this was a blip, then a trend, then a puzzle for the climate science community. I mean, you don't mean the climate science community. I mean the climate fraud community. So now it's because of the Atlantic Ocean. I think they should sue the Atlantic Ocean. I think they should hire a battery of lawyers from the Justice Department to stop the Atlantic Ocean from these oscillations because it's screwing up their business plan. Because there's a slowdown in global warming, and it could last for another decade or longer. And then what are we going to do if we can't keep the people stupid? The research was funded by the U.S. National Unscience Foundation and the Unnational Unnatural Science Foundation of China. You hear? That's what they said. Tongue, Mr. Tongue, Dr. Tongue. Not T-O-N-G-U-E. Not T-O-N-G-U-E, sorry. I don't know what's on my mind. Not T-O-N-G-U-E. It's T-U-N-G. Tongue. Tongue. So, like, if you go to an Italian restaurant and you want a tongue sandwich, you got to be very careful in a society that's so racially sensitive. You better spell it out. It's T-O-U-N-G-E, because if you say a tongue sandwich, they could think you're being anti-Chinese. Think about that. I mean, in San Francisco, Chinatown and in Little Italy are adjacent to each other. So when I go into an Italian restaurant on Friday, I don't eat it much. I used to eat tongue. But I got very sensitive to the word itself, so now I say, give me la lingua. I do it in the Italian. They know it means a tongue sandwich. I don't say tongue because it could be mistaken. They don't know what I'm talking about. A tongue sandwich, the guy could say, look, I'm calling the diversity police. You're insulting our neighbor next door. You're insulting the guy who owns the building. I feel giddy. Oh, so giddy. I'm on the cusp of a vacation. I am so tired from the news. I'm so burned out from the vermin in the media. I'm so tired of the liars on the left. I'm sick and tired of the false prophet, the false prophets, the false president, the false journalists, the false scientists. I'm sick of it all. This is what gets me up every day, but I need a break from it. As I said to you in the last hour, if I could do it, and there are no such things anymore, I'd go for sleep therapy for a week. I'm going away somewhere where I know it's going to bring me back more tired than I leave. Don't tell anyone yet. I'll tell you where I went when I come back, but I fear I won't sleep for a week. I never sleep when I go on vacation. I plan on it. The first two nights I don't sleep at all. There's nothing but sweating at 3 o'clock in the morning. I watch the digital clock. You trick yourself. I say, oh, it must be around 5. It's about, you know, because at night I put a towel over the clock. I don't want to look at it because I'm always afraid I'm not going to fall asleep. So inevitably you fall asleep fitfully for 10 minutes, 12 minutes top. I get up. It's dark, black in the room. I use blackout curtains. And I don't look at the clock, but I say to myself, I don't know, maybe it's 5:30. Maybe I get up and take a walk. You look at the clock, it's 2:12. With me, it's always like 2:22 or 3:33 or 4:44, 5:55 or 6:66. Inevitably, it's always the three hands are on the same. It's like, I wish to God that worked for me in a casino. I can almost predict when I'm going to wake up that the hands are going to be like 1:11, 2:22, 3:33 or 4:44. If I could predict that in a casino, man, I'd be happy, but I'm not. I'm not going on a vacation like that. I wish you could go over on sleep therapy for a week. Imagine if I could just go in those old, like, Marienbad spa where they keep you asleep. They just give you, like herbal teas, let's say. Today they'd use OxyContin or something, like low dosage in your pablum. Come in here, sir. We're feeding you. Like, the nurse looks like she's out of, like, Stalag 17. And they give me pablum with some narcotic in it that kept me slightly asleep for an entire week. And they walk me on both arms back to the bed. And I stay asleep for one whole week, getting up only for bodily functions and to keep the blood moving, right? At the end of that week, when I'm slightly narcotized and my brain is like functioning at about 30%, I would go into the local Republican National Committee recruiting office and I would say I'd like to sign up for the Republican Party. If they really do a good job in the clinic, I'd like to run for office altogether. I'm sure Boehner would see me then, because I'd be like one of them. All I need is a pair of check pants, and I'm ready for the Republican Party. Remember these songs now? No one remembers it. You got to be over 13 to remember this song. So you couldn't stop. He couldn't make it today. A, he's a man. B, he's handsome. C, he can sing. There's no way he could make it in the music business. Sorry, he's white also. I should have added that first. Let me start why Dean Martin could never make it in music. Did he still be a barber? You know, if Dean Martin were alive today and was a barber wanting to break in, he couldn't break out of the barbershop. Four things against him. He's white, he's a man, he's got a good voice, and he can sing. Four strikes against him right off the bat. What you need is someone like Taylor Swift with the chick music. Neil, get me some of the chick music, because that's what we need in America today. Whiny, crybaby, Macy's music. In other words, you go and shop for underwear, and this is what you got to listen to. I broke up, and he ran away, and I can't find him. My world's falling apart. No, that's Dean Martin. I want to hear Taylor Swift. You had her yesterday. I had fun with that.
We broke up. And it feels so bad.
We hadn't seen each other in a month. This is Obama's theme song. The theme song of the Democrat National Committee. Then you come around again and say, this is a new demographic. The 13-year-old chick. I hear Valerie Jarrett's trying to see if she can lower the voting age to junior high school.
Break up, you call me, I love you.
I love you. You know that I cannot even go in the men's department of Macy's because of this music? It offends me. Earplugs don't help. I buy online now. I can't even buy underwear at Macy's. I can't even relax. Women shop to relax. I can't shop to relax. This music agitates me.
He broke up and he called me a name. Boo hoo hoo hoo.
Oh my God. There's about 1,000 days left of this regime, the golfer. This guy could break the nation and lead us into 100 years of darkness if he's not removed by his own party. Did I just say that in the middle of joking? Yes. Unless the Democrat Party steps in and removes Obama from the office of the presidency, he could destroy the nation and lead us into 100 years of darkness. I said that. I mean it. Now, look, I'm off all of tomorrow and all of next week, unless something terrible happens, which I pray doesn't. at which case I'll rush back to a radio station nearby the place I'm going to be, God willing. You know, but if you want to keep in touch with me, I got michaelsavage.com. I got the book. You could buy the book if you feel bad and you want to keep in touch with me. You go buy the book, whatever the book is, to stop the coming civil war, which I'm not going to do much on until I come back after Labor Day. It's heavy duty. All of the heavy artillery comes out after that. I got to alert America. It's my last hurrah. After that, if I survive, it's a dog book. I'm going to do a book on dogs after that. I got it lined up already. Teddy, I hope he's still living. What an accident this morning. All over the floor again. I think he's getting old. I don't know what it is. Imagine getting up 4 in the morning and stepping in. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. No, there's no religion involved. There's no ideology. Just ask President Obama. No, there's no religion behind it. There's no ideology. No, no, no. Ask them what they think, though. They'll tell you something different. The religion of Obama is global warming. And now there's a hiatus in the global warming, you see, because of the Atlantic Ocean. It's not behaving properly. Every week they come up with a new theory. So the current theory now is this, according to Mr. Dr. Tung. Not to be confused with the tongue that you eat. He's a doctor from China. His name is Dr. Tung, T-U-N-G. And Dr. Tung says there are recurrent cycles that are salinity-driven that can store heat deep in the Atlantic and southern oceans. And what you understand is that after 30 years of rapid warming in the warm phase, now it's time for the cool phase. In other words, nature's going through its cycle, but that's not going to stop the global warming gangsters from admitting that they were wrong. So here's what Dr. Tung says to continue the big lie. When it's heavy water on top of light water, it just plunges very fast and takes heat with it, said Dr. Tung. Oh, well, that's bad. Bad for business. Very bad for business. So we got cooling now instead of heating because that's nature correcting itself. Like now we have a drought in California. Within a certain period of time, we'll have floods again. It's called a Mediterranean climate, but don't tell that to Governor Brown because he hasn't lived there all his life. Anyone who's lived there all his life should understand what a Mediterranean climate is. Years of drought, years of flooding. But no, don't tell that to Governor Brown. He's listening to the same pinheads, or microcephalics, as I like to call them, as those advising Obama about radical Islam or fundamentalist Islam. KSFO, Steve, haven't taken a call from KSFO. What's on your mind?
MSNBC is already reporting that Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton are already mobilizing to the Atlantic Ocean.
They're going to go protest the waves, huh?
Well, protest the allegations about affecting global warming.
Well, that's right. Yes, right. The ocean's not on trial, but America's on trial.
No, yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Wait, Sharpton would probably say something like this. Global warming's not on trial, but the sea is on trial.
And it's an injustice to do this to...
Yeah, and I hear that Holder's going to visit the Atlantic Ocean next to protest the injustice of the cooling trend in the ocean waves. Yeah, he's opening an investigation with 40 scientists from the National Science Foundation to see if they can beat some sense into that ornery ocean for behaving the way oceans have behaved since the oceans were created by God. Very good point, Steve. I'm glad you can still have a sense of humor. That's the world I live in. Like, it's Alice in Wonderland. You know, if this world survives Barry Obama, if we survive the 1,000 days left of this regime, if we just can survive it, and if we can just rebuild the country slowly, rebuild the military, rebuild our borders, rebuild our language, rebuild our culture, rebuild academia, rebuild science. If we can just do it over a 20, 30-year period, which is what it's liable to take, somebody will one day write a history of this age that we are living in under this reign of insanity under Obama, and nobody will believe that people could actually put up with this for this long. Golfing in the middle of this? Any sane society is a call for him to resign, and the party moves him out. They say, okay, the guy's shot. It's bad for business, bad for the party, bad for the country. And they move him out. They just get rid of him. The party takes him out. I don't know on what pretext. And then Biden. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. Let me take that back. Let me rewind that tape. Because then we get Biden. Can you imagine that? So instead of golfing, what are we going to get of his Biden? Water guns on holiday? Instead of seeing Obama in a golf cart in the middle of an ISIS thing and a beheading, You could see Biden running around a swimming pool with a water gun. Oh, God. So who's third in command? Valerie Jarrett? Let's see. First in command is Valerie Jarrett. Second in command is Michelle Obama. Third in command. Obama's about fifth in command. Okay, then is Biden. Sorry. So there's the four horsewomen of the apocalypse. They're really running the country. That's why they got rid of the A-10 Warthogs and then let the enemy take our tanks. Oh, I threw that in. I shouldn't have said that. That's complete right-wing paranoia. You know, that really is sick. You mean they got rid of the A-10 Warthog 4 months ago, saying we didn't need it anymore, the tank killer? And then they let ISIS capture our tanks? Come on. They wouldn't do that. No, they're all as kosher as the driven salt.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
So ISIL speaks for no religion, and no faith teaches people to massacre innocents. ISIL has no ideology of any value to human beings. Their ideology is bankrupt.
Well, that's very progressive of you, Mr. President. I'm sure those words will terrify the forces of radical Islam. I'm sure of it. I'm sure they're shaking in their robes because you have made them embarrassed. But what is behind this Muslim flame? What is behind this Islamist flame? What is behind it? What do they want? Well, it's very clear what they want. Take a look at Iraq and you'll know what they'll do to you here. Christians will be killed. Churches will be burned. Jews, of course, will be killed immediately. No chance for a Jew to convert. What amazes me is the progressive Jews in America, how asleep they really are. I wonder how many of them were down in Missouri marching in solidarity with the poor, oppressed black people. I wonder how many progressives are going to be outside the hospital for the policeman whose eye socket was broken open by the thug who was shot. Think any of the progressives will be? You think Anderson Cooper will still be around when the cop hobbles out of the hospital? That fraud, that faker Anderson Cooper. You know, he gets me more angry than most of them because he's a likable man. See, watch out for the likable vermin in the media. The ones that you don't like, you don't have to worry about. It's the likable ones like Anderson Cooper that you have to watch out for. They're the most deceitful and the most dangerous. But let's go back to the issue at hand, the bigger issue, which is the Arab flame that's now sweeping the world. And yesterday I tried to give you some history here, and you say, oh, come on, not again, I hate history. And I told you as a high school student, I hated history, I hated dates. The minute the teacher said 1193, I went to sleep. The only date my mind was on was Friday night or Saturday night, whether she'd go out with me. That's the only date I ever cared about in high school. So I turned off during high school history. I really did. But now I become more interested. The older I get, the more I see that we're repeating history. And those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it, as stated by the great Spanish philosopher Santayana. Yes, there were great Spanish philosophers, by the way. Santayana was a good one. Not on the level of Schopenhauer, but he was pretty good. And he said those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. So for 1 minute, indulge me. If you think that ISIL is no threat, then you belong working in the Department of Homeland Security, who's still waiting for the white men on the ranches to arise over a land dispute with Harry Reid's uranium mines. That was quite a statement. Remember that? Remember how long ago that was, when the Bureau of Land Management was ready to shoot and kill women and children because they were protesting the taking of the ranchers' land? Oh, that was ages ago. Oh, but DHS was ready. They had the tanks ready. They had the helicopters ready because it was whites who were protesting. Not rioting, mind you, but protesting. DHS was ready to mow them down. But where is DHS in Missouri? They were silent. There were no tanks from the DHS. There was no DHS present because it wasn't white people rioting. They're waiting for you to riot. They're waiting for you to riot when he grants amnesty to the illegals and steals your country by changing the demographics and gerrymandering districts with illegal aliens. That's quite a sentence. It's a complete sentence, too. Now, I warned you for well over a year now that this corrupt government would try to stimulate insurrection in this country in order to declare martial law. I pray to God I'm wrong. I asked the publisher of my new book, Stop the Coming Civil War, to rush the book. I cannot wait until October. It is now up on michaelsavage.com. You can link it to Barnes & Noble and advance copy right now. Stop the Coming Civil War. We must stop this corrupt administration from provoking situations to their advantage. I want to give you the full context about Obama's lies, his constant lies. And for him to say that ISIS stands for no religion is an overt, not only is it a lie, but it's an historical untruth. Let's just look at it from an historical point of view. They believe that they're working in the name of Islam. Doesn't matter what Obama believes. From their point of view, they're doing it to expand Islam, as are our own jihadis. Here's a story that you saw no riots over. Black Muslim in America, Ali Muhammad Brown, accused of killing 4 men in 2 states, said he killed a New Jersey teen, all white, by the way, to make up for innocent lives lost in the Middle East. Ali Muhammad Brown is accused of killing a 19-year-old in New Jersey and 3 men in Washington State. According to court documents, the 29-year-old black Muslim claimed he wanted to kill the teenager, the white teenager, as an act of vengeance to retaliate for U.S. military action in the Middle East. And he believes he was doing it for his religious beliefs. Brown is a devout Muslim who opposes U.S. intervention overseas. He's an American. And he went on to say, it's a life for a life, he told investigators, according to the documents. So I would ask you, do you feel threatened by Islamofascism in America and Obama's laziness? Not only is he lazy physically, going to a golf course after breaking his vacation for a little impotent speech, but the man is intellectually lazy. Obama's a lazy man. Lazy, L-A-Z-Y. Let's stop saying disconnected. I hate when they say, oh, he's disconnected. He's not connected. He's lazy. He's a bum. He's a lazy bum, Obama, period. He's a slacker. Comes back from vacation for a speech and then goes back to golfing. And not only that, but the lies that he gave during the speech are very dangerous lies. I don't care that he lies. Politicians lie. That's the name of the game. The word politician itself is one of deceit. It always has been. That's why they're in the field, by and large. Not all, but a large percentage are just... The word politician and liar are one and the same. It's like lawyer and liar. The word lawyer is closer to liar, but politician generally today means lawyer who became a politician. So Obama says that it's not a religion. Let's listen to the whole cut on the Savage Nation.
Let's be clear about ISIS.
Listen.
They have rampaged across cities and villages, killing innocent, unarmed civilians in cowardly acts of violence. They abduct women and children and subject them to torture and rape and slavery. They have murdered Muslims, both Sunni and Shia, by the thousands. They target Christians and religious minorities, driving them from their homes.
They bury them alive, Obama.
When they can. For no other reason than they practice a different religion.
Oh, wait, hold on. He just said they practice. First, Obama said they have no religion, and they're not doing this in the name of religion. Then he said that they kill Christians and other religious minorities because they practice a different religion. So within his own speech, written by some college girl, no doubt from Brandeis University, they probably got a red diaper dopa baby girl raised on seltzer and suicide. Seltzer and race suicide to write the speech for him. She just conflicted right there. Now, I could go on and on, but what's the point? So what would you advise? Anybody saying anything that's worth putting up on the air? I love when Obama said people like this ultimately fail. Hold it. Speed up Obama's speech to the middle, his tepid little college speech in between the golf links. Came out, gave the speech, and went back to Martha's Vineyard to the game. Again, I never heard of anything like this. I never heard of anything like this. The whole world is sitting waiting for the speech, and the guy goes back to the golf course. Am I the only one who's sick of... Go ahead, play it.
And people like this ultimately fail. They fail because the future is won by those who build and not destroy. And the world
is
shaped
by a college chick from either Harvard or, I would guess, Bryn Mawr. Maybe Brandeis. He got a really bright girl from Brandeis that came from the Upper East Side of Manhattan.
red diaper doper baby, seltzer drinker, who learned at the foot of Daddy Commie and Mommy Commie. Straight A's all the way and came out, probably worked for the ACLU in her senior year to help the oppressed people of New York City, to help those who were being beaten up and evil, by the evil white police. Now she's working for Obama. She probably wrote that line. Play that line again so they can hear it again. Listen, people like this.
And people like this ultimately fail.
They do? Well, what can you tell that to the Romans, the Greeks, the Babylonians, and the other civilized people who fell? I guess Obama didn't get to Harvard, the history department at Harvard, where he didn't read about the fall of Rome, the fall of Greece, the form of Babylon. If he had, he would have read that the future belongs to the barbarian hordes who cut off heads and terrify the world. Never forget, I got to read this to you. Hold on. If you want to look at what barbarian hordes can do, well, first you have to look at the spread of Islam and how fast it spread and how it spread. If you had looked at history, the history of the world, in the opening of the 7th century, you might have figured that it was only a question of a few hundred years before the whole of Europe and Asia would fall under Mongolian domination, because the Mongolians were the most ruthless at the time. Okay, and you would have said in a couple hundred years the world will be dominated by the Mongols. But you would have been wrong, because something happened, and that was called Islam. And then we saw the great days of Islam. The growth of the Muslim in 25 years is something that had never been seen before. From the time of the death of Muhammad in 632 to the death of Othman in 656, only 25 years, with small armies like ISIS that killed, maimed, burned, blew up things up, burnt libraries to the ground. They conquered Egypt, which had not been Muslim. They conquered all of Arabia, Persia. They conquered all of Armenia. And, of course, the rest is history. Good portion of China fell as well. And what is it that drove them, the early ancestors of ISIS? The conquest was driven by something. It was a belief in something. It didn't come from nothing. They have a belief system. Make no mistake about it. They're not nihilists. The president's wrong about that as well. They're not nihilists. They have a belief system. They have a great belief system. They have a fanatical belief in the sufficiency of a single book called the Quran. And when the Muslims got through conquering various and sundry countries, Syria, Damascus, Palmyra, Antioch, Jerusalem, and populations convert to Islam, they then turn the east. And then the Persians try to fight. Those are the Iranians, the ancestors of the Iranians. The Persians try to fight back. The Persians had a great military with a force of elephants. And for 3 days they fought against the Muslim Arabs at Qadisiyah in 637. And then they fell. And the Persian military fled. And then all of Persia was converted to Islam. Then what happened? Was the bloodthirsty ancestry of ISIS satisfied? No. The Muslim ISIS ancestry turned into Western Turkestan and eastward until it met with the Chinese. Egypt then fell without resistance. Egypt fell without resistance. Why? Because the ancestors of ISIS were filled with a fanatical belief in the Quran. And when they got to Alexandria in Egypt, they burnt the book copying industry to the ground. And it continues. So if you believe that they're easily conquered and stopped, you're mistaken. This is a powder keg that's rolling across the world. And they're around you in this country. And we are a divided nation. And we are filled with people like Al Sharpton and the media, which attacks the United States itself at a time like this. And our leader comes up, and instead of giving a powerful, strong speech saying, we will not fold, we're going to go blah, 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 what does he do? He gives a speech and runs back to the golf course. And the little white mothers in the little white suburbs put out the Kool-Aid and the lemonade for their little girls to sell on little stands as though it's 1952 and Norman Rockwell is still painting his pictures of the idealized America. I will be right back.
And people like this ultimately fail.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com.
So ISIL speaks for no religion, and no faith teaches people to massacre innocents. ISIL has no ideology of any value to human beings. Their ideology is bankrupt.
Very progressive, Mr. Obama. I'm sure they're terrified of that statement. But I'm sure that they disagree with you, because you know intellectually you're telling a falsehood, and you're also being intellectually lazy if you say they have no religion. I mean, they do have a religion. Very clearly, they're practicing the tenets of their religion. Islam has not gone through an evolution for them. As you know, Judaism also has pretty severe, horrendous statements in the Old Testament. We all know that if you read Leviticus, if you practice Leviticus, most people listening to this show would be killed. Can't commit adultery, you can't commit homosexuality, you look at someone the wrong way, they shall be slayed. I mean, it's crazy. You look at it. The madness in the Leviticus. So certainly the modern Jew, even in the Orthodox Jew, doesn't kill people for adultery, doesn't kill because of various and sundry violations of the Old Testament, as do most Muslims not kill over it. They see it and they say, it's old, they're crazy in those days. But ISIS does. They practice a fundamentalist view of Islam. And it's very much their religion. It's not religion. So as I said to you, they're a very dangerous force because they're following the methods of the great days of the Arabs when in a short period of time, only 25 years, they conquered a good portion of the world and converted them to Islam. And I gave you a little history of how they did it with small armies of 3,000 to 4,000 men. And I ended in the last segment with the conquest of Persia, which was not Muslim, and then it fell and they converted them. Egypt fell. Egypt fell without resistance to the new conquerors, who then, believing that the world needed only one book, the Quran, the Muslim fanatics wiped out the vestiges of the book copying industry. They burnt it to the ground in the Alexandria Library. One of the greatest libraries in the world at that time was burnt to the ground. In other words, what went on in Missouri to a convenience store is what the mobs did in Egypt. And then the tide of conquest changed. The tide poured across the north coast of Africa to the Straits of Gibraltar and into Spain. The Islamo-fascists invaded Spain in 710. 10 years later, they breached the Pyrenees Mountains. Did you hear what I just said? 10 years later, they were fighting for 10 more years. If you're near a computer or you have an iPhone, would you please do me a favor? Would you go to michaelsavage.com? Would you please at least look at my new book, which is not out until October, Stop the Coming Civil War, My Savage Truth.
Savage.